ABC News.
Data has revealed more than 220,000 Australian children are taking antidepressants and other prescription drugs as a result of mental health issues. The figures from the Australian Institute of Health and Welfare show 2,300 toddlers and preschool children were prescribed medication for mental health related issues from 2018 to 2019. The numbers also show 1 in 13 Australian teenagers are taking antidepressants. Professor Dave Coghill is the Chair of Developmental Mental Health at the University of Melbourne, and he joins us now. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Big numbers there, 220,000 Australian children. Did this come as a surprise to you?
Well, unfortunately, these numbers have been high for a long time. So they're, I agree with you, shocking, but unfortunately not surprising.
So one of the things that really struck me is more than 2,300 toddlers on prescription medication. I mean, that seems concerning. Are you seeing evidence of this? And what are the most common conditions in children that young?
Yeah. Well, yes, we do see this. And there are really very few, if any, reasons for prescribing psychiatric medications, mental health medications to children this young. Of course, children that young can have conditions like ADHD, but the way to treat ADHD in young children is by non-medication treatment. So parent training and other behavioural modifications. They shouldn't be on medication.
According to a report from the Productivity Commission, I'll note that 1 in 7 school-aged children have been diagnosed with a mental illness. That's the data we've got here. I mean, what are the contributing factors that lead to that?
Well, I mean, mental illness is common, and it's always been common. And so this, again, isn't a surprise that the numbers are so high. The surprise is that we don't have the infrastructure and we don't have the support to treat it. I think it's right that stresses of modern life can contribute to mental health problems, but they're not the only cause. These have been around with us for a long time. But we do need a much better response, a response that doesn't rely so much on medication.
When you talk about that then, what other strategies could be put in place here to address the issue that doesn't involve medication?
Yeah, well, there are a lot of very good psychological supports. There are a lot of very good non-medication therapies that can be given. The problem we have here in Australia is we don't have enough people trained and available to be able to give these kinds of therapies. In other countries, for example, they've used nurses. Specialist mental health nurses have been trained in psychological therapies to work alongside psychologists and to be available to manage those with the less acute and less severe problems. We don't have that in Australia, and unfortunately our funding system means that most of these young children and their families will go to be pushed towards private care, and many of them can't afford that, and we don't have enough services available.
Professor, in the wake of this report, the Australian Primary Principals Association says that self-harm is becoming a real issue, and in primary schools. Why do you think we're seeing that trend?
Again, I think stress and lack of support for children and young people. We need to be able to provide good early preventative care for these children, not just at home, but also within schools, and schools need to be supported in this.
It's been a pretty extraordinary year, and I'll note that the statistics we have today, they're based on figures compiled for 2018-2019, and that was, of course, before we even knew the word COVID-19. So with the additional pressures of the pandemic this year leading to those major upheavals to education and day-to-day life, you know, kids having to engage in distance learning at school and that sort of thing, are you concerned this is going to get a lot worse when we see those new figures?
Yeah, well, as you say, the figures were bad enough before the COVID-19 pandemic and all of the restrictions that we've had. Listen, the data that we've seen so far would suggest that there have been issues relating to COVID. Particularly, we've seen an increase in presentations at emergency departments with, as you talked about before, self-harm. But on the other side of that coin, whilst we've seen a general increase in anxiety and low mood and loneliness in children, most of those changes have been moderate, and we're starting to see things improve now that kids are back at school and able to go out to play again. So I don't want to trivialize the impact of COVID, but I think our kids are pretty resilient, and most families have been able to manage these situations really pretty well and provide that extra support. I think we as professionals need to be able to continue to do that, to support the community to help manage these anxieties. But I don't think that we're going to see what some people had worried about, a tsunami of mental health problems arising from COVID. There are going to be some instances, but I'm optimistic that we get through this.
Yeah, here's hoping. Professor, thank you very much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Professor Dave Coghill there, the Chair of Developmental Mental Health at the University of Melbourne. I might just note the Kids Helpline if you need some help, 1-800-55-1800. There's also Lifeline Australia 13 11 14.